The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's a moment to respect each other, especially like after all the situations that we are living right now.
Yeah.
And if you can solve your problems dancing, just do it.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mondo Moments, the podcast where the little things matter. I'm Emmeline Mondo and I am your host. Let's get stuck in to episode 2 of season 2. Every now and again, a party comes along that does more than just get people dancing. It becomes a container for the kind of freedom and release that every human desires. It has the perfect mix of unpredictable, unbelievable, of dirty ravers, the outliers, the seekers, the daydreamers, and the showstoppers. And the beauty of it is that it starts to write itself. The founders have a vision, but the culture drives it. Soon it becomes a radical dance of joy, birthing memories that can change people's lives and stories to last for days. This is where Bren Lowe comes in. As the co-founder of Diaspora CDMX and Diaspora Latina, her story was one I wanted to understand. It was no surprise to me that she was fun and effortlessly cool, but there was so much more. Bren has a way of loving out loud. She possesses a tender and fierce nature that sees everyone and loves all things, and she stays curious. She studied biology and is a qualified translator, and on reflection, it all makes perfect sense. Yes, she speaks several languages. She also speaks the language of the heart, and she dances to her own beat. I mean it when I say if there is a party worth going to, it is one that Bren throws. This conversation was such a special look into Bren's life and world, from moments with her late grandmother to growing up in Mexico and how she helped co-found and create the Diaspora Party.
I'm so excited to be speaking to Bren Lowe today. Bren, can I just ask you, do you want to be called Brenda? Or Bren?
I like Bren, actually. Okay, like, cool. I think only my mom is telling me Brenda when she's mad. So okay, Bren is fine.
I'm so excited about Bren. We met in Mexico City, which many of you by now know has been the most inspiring and grounding experience I've had in the past 6 months. Bren's voice comes as something pivotal and instrumental to this series of conversations, because not only does she identify as Afro-Mexican and has so much to say about this lineage, she is very much immersed in what is happening in the city at the moment, something that many people are calling a renaissance, something that many of us are drawn to. There's so much to cover here, and I'm really excited to just get right into it. Bren, I normally give a bit more of a background about what people do or how you spend your days. So before we get into the conversation about Mexico City, I'd love to know a little bit about what inspires you, what moves you, a bit of what you're involved in Mexico at the moment.
At the moment, right now, I'm doing a project, about this. It's called Diaspora.
Yep.
So actually, it's something that is giving me a lot of joy because, as you said, I have been trying to put together, a lot of people that maybe if you are not from the same country or something like that, but you have something in you that, you share with another people, probably music, probably some typical dances. There's many things that we ignore, I think we don't really know our roots, but when you realize and when you try to reach a little bit about your background, you are going to realize that we have a lot of things in common, That's why I'm trying to do this project called Diaspora, because it's what I found. This is what I'm doing right now in Mexico City, and has been amazing, honestly speaking, because I was expecting for years something like that, you know?
Yeah,
a place where you can feel connected through music with your roots.
Yeah.
So it was a challenge because, you know, I was born in Mexico, and all my life I was, you know, growing, feeling different. I don't know how to explain that, because it was a little bit weird for me, you know, that everybody was asking me like, hey, where are you from? Where are you from? You are so tall, your body type, your lips, your nose.
Yeah.
And I was always in the ignorance, you know, I was like, I'm Mexican. Even people was a little bit rude, because they were like, no, I don't think they are your parents because you look kind of different. And I was like, no, but, you know, I have a lot of roots and my background is way different, you know. Here in Mexico is people from the coast. And my mom was having also some roots from the Caribbean, from Cuba. So I was realizing that there was a lot of information that sometimes we don't know, and that is very important for our identity.
Yeah.
And something really funny that you said at the beginning is that now, yeah, I can say that I can identify myself as a Afro-Mexican, you know, and it's something really funny because this word was not existing until 2017.
Wow.
So imagine how many people is having also like that curiosity, they are having like these thoughts about where I am coming from, or some people don't even care, you know.
Yeah.
They just know that they look different.
Yeah.
But that is the fact here in Mexico. That's why I call my project Diaspora.
Yeah.
Because if you, well, you have been here, I don't know how many places you have been in Mexico. But if you go to the north, if you go to the coast, you are going to see always different type, different skin colors, you know.
Yeah.
And it's because we have a mix of everything. But it's funny because for many, many, many years, indigenous and, you know, African people were in the poorest places, you know. That's why they don't. They are not like big in population probably, but that's about generations. We are talking about 500 years or more where Mexico was colonized, and there were many, many changes. So basically what I'm doing right now with the project is try to look for that information, you know, for that hide information that is in Mexico, but probably people doesn't know. And it's just like cultural. There's a lot of things about art, music. Those are the type of things that are like inspiring me right now, because it's really, really important. You know, I think nowadays, and also after pandemic and all these situations, people don't really know how to stay in community again. Communities are really important.
Yeah. That's such an important thing to recognize there. I want to just take a beat before we move on, because you touched on really big themes. And I actually would like to tell some of my listeners a brief overview. Diaspora is an event, a party, a cultural movement, honestly, that is really turning Mexico City, or turning the lives of people in Mexico City, into this just an epic joining, as Bren is saying, a community, a communion even. You might get the invite if you ever visit Mexico City. Look out for it. It's always in a secret location. It's always very welcoming and fun. But you might think at first that it's just a party. But I'm glad you've given this background and what it's born from, because it feels important when you go there. I danced until like I was actually soaking wet. Like everyone leaves that place soaking, and it's almost like how do you say, like a a revival. Yeah, but it's like you, like,
I call it an experience, you know.
You really shake something off, let something out, and you're, and something's born, and it means, it's really incredible to have that background. A question that I have for you, given the fact that you mentioned always feeling a bit different growing up, having been born in Mexico, and then having this project come together, the other thing that it does really well, and I've not actually seen it, I would actually say very few places in the world do it, but you do mix the diaspora in a way that I think New York wanted to, London has wanted to, like I've felt bits of it in like some African countries, but the way that you guys are able to mix the diaspora and us feel so connected in community feels really special. So I wanted to ask you, do you feel like what was born of diaspora has given you a bit of what you were missing, you felt you were missing growing up? And are there particular things that you do to create the environment that is born in diaspora, without giving away your secrets, but how do you make magic?
I think it was really organic, you know. That is a very interesting question, but it's really, really easy to answer. It was really a wish for me to have a place to have fun, you know, with the music that I was enjoying. Because when I was like probably 12 or something like that, I was always listening, you know, like hip hop, rap. I was into reggaeton. But all those genres were always like, are just like music from the hood or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like growing up and I never found places in Mexico to hear like real music.
Yeah.
And then I was having a lot of influence from my family, from my cousins about jazz, blues. I was listening a lot of reggae also. I was even trying to research a little bit more, you know, like also that is something funny about me because I'm a biologist. So I'm naturally, I'm naturally into curiosity, you know, and I'm always like asking, making questions, trying to reach some answers, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, all these genres, and I was like spending a lot of years only with that type of music. But I was like finding something in particular, the beat. The beat of all this music is always there, you know?
Yeah.
And even if we go to the music like the rock and roll or things like that, we have a lot of Black artists, even here in Mexico. I used to dance the national like dances here, you know, like the traditional ones.
Yeah.
So it was always something related, you know? I was just like hearing this type of music and I was like, this has something in particular.
Yeah.
And then when I was trying to do the party, I was like, okay, I have Afrobeats and I love Afrobeats. I have also reggaeton and I have hip hop and you have R&B, dancehall. And I was like, what if we put all this together and we try to do like a crazy mix? I was like, it's possible. I was like, it's super possible, you know, because there's many things in common about all this type of music that if you put all together, it's just going to be a blast. I was like, I don't know why people is not doing this before, or maybe they do it, but that's something special, you know, because in Mexico, you were not finding places like that. Probably you were going to some clubs kind of underground and those were playing only reggae, for example. The environment was way different. The clubs was only reggaeton.
Yeah.
And then other clubs were only hip hop and only one in Mexico, like I'm telling you, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I told one of my friends from LA during the pandemic, like, hey, we should do something, you know, because we were trying to go out, you know, when the city was trying to have life again and some parties. Well, actually, the parties were kind of underground or entirely underground.
Yeah.
But we were like, we need a place, you know, because we really miss our music. And I told him, we can put all this together. And I'm telling you, it's going to be great. Yeah. So my friend was like, ah, yes, you have a great idea. Let's do that, Brenda.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, but when? And he was like, I don't know. Let's see. Let's talk. But yeah. I'm the type of person that is just like, okay, if I'm saying that I'm doing it, let's put a date.
Yeah,
so
I
choose, yeah. and I choose my birthday, you know. I was just like, let's do it on my birthday. Like, I'm just going to put like the perfect excuse to do the first day as for a party, and it's going to be this day in May. Because I was like, okay, I'm going to tell someone like, hey, it's going to be just like my birthday party and blah, blah, blah. And let's see how it goes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we were spreading the information, mm-hmm. and we have these results, like a lot of lovely people from a lot of places. And as you are saying, a lot of expats, you know?
Yeah.
But it was fun because for my surprise, I was finding people from the States, people from London.
Yeah,
people from Haiti, people from Nigeria, people from Egypt, people from a lot of places, even people from here, you know.
Berlin, I was just like, oh my Israel, God, like it's really when you walk in, when I walked in, it felt like the dream that you'd hoped for when you were in lockdown about how you wanted to be, like how you wanted it to dance. I wanted like to walk into a room of just all different kinds of people and it just be about joy and dance. And it literally is the dream that I had in my head about the perfect party. That's how it felt like walking in. I was like, this is it.
And I'm so happy that you can say that, because it was actually the same vision, you know, like it was actually a dream for me too, because I was always like looking these videos of these thick and beautiful girls, you know, like Caribbean bodies and things like that. And I was, it was something like funny also, because I was feeling familiar, you know, because as I was telling you at the beginning, I was like, I don't fit in the standard of a Mexican woman, as people think is a Mexican woman.
So
when I was younger, and when I was just like looking at all these videos, you know, in MTV or some other channels or in internet, I was just like, that's a party. Like, I just dance like that, like naturally. And dance hall and hip hop, let's put it all together.
Yeah.
And every single time, for example, I used to do parties for my birthday normally.
Yeah.
So every single time that I was putting my personal selection, you know, of music with Afrobeats, Sean Paul, and I was playing, I don't know, like 50 Cent, Rihanna, and then some other beats, everybody was dancing. So I was like, I want to have a party that is to dance and to share the culture, to share joy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And I'm telling you, I'm super happy, because as you said, it's also something cultural, because
it's a movement.
It's a movement. And I really want to do from Diaspora a platform for many artists. I'm glad to share with you that we are doing it actually. We started as like kind of underground, especially after COVID. But now I think even bigger venues, now we are trying to have more promoters. We have a lot of big brands supporting. We have a beautiful and big venue right now. And a lot of people that they are just like, wow, like I have never seen this before.
Yeah.
Brenda, you have a community there, you know? And that's what I want to take care of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Diaspora Party was born off the back of the COVID-19 global pandemic. In the middle of mass fear, loss and separation, the murder of George Floyd was a catalyst that raised the alarm to the horrendous police brutality Black people face in America. This is an issue African Americans have been fighting for many years. These shockwaves moved people all around the world and woke us up to the fierce urgency of collective movements rooted in justice. Bren and her co-founders carved out a path that made space for joy after prolonged collective pain. I wanted to know how the tragedy had affected and informed the creation of Diaspora. The party reminded me that joy as resistance is also important. It is a defiant stand against the capitalist white supremacy delusion designed to keep us programmed in fear.
Here in Mexico, you know, we are neighbors with the states. So basically, we know all the situation with all this abuse, the discrimination, the racism. And we are also a country that holds every single person that comes to Mexico with love, you know. So also it's a country that is mostly indigenous, right? So we have to face every single time that type of situations of discrimination, and we were just like really shocked about that. I remember it was starting this movement for Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And of course I was supporting, at that time, my boyfriend, he was from Florida. He was also in the protest because he's a Black man.
Yeah.
And I was shocked, you know, I was so sad because that was in the news. And also I was having a lot of friends here that are Black, and they were of course super indignated. And it was just like a whole movement. So I think, for example, Diaspora was coming in a place or in a moment to remember everybody the importance of the respect, because it's crazy that we are in 2022 and we still judging people by the color of your skin sometimes, you know. So when I started this, I was aware that it was going to be like an explosion of many things, you know. Like put all these people together, and no lies, I have people from a lot of countries. Of course, some of them they share, but I'm telling you that they have always the respect for Black and Indigenous people. And especially because Mexicans, we also suffer from police, you know.
Police brutality.
From the government. Yes, things like that. So we support a lot that type of situations. And I was studying also in UNAM. That here is like the biggest university in Mexico, and also I can say in Latin America, is the number one actually. But the thing is that that college has been teaching me always what is around, you know, like a lot of exposure, like respect about another cultures. We are coming from the same thing. And also imagine me being a biologist, of course. I know by evolution that the first man was Black, and also my skin color. So I was just like, oh my God, like this has to change. And I'm so happy because right now you have seen that the population of Black people in Mexico is getting bigger, I think.
Yeah, it really is.
It's obvious.
And
the most important for me is that they feel comfortable here. That is really good, you know. Yeah, I mean, like, they feel comfortable here. At first, I remember some years ago, like, Mexicans in the city, they are not used to, or they were not used to see, like, Black people that often.
Oh.
But they always see Black people with appreciation, you know. Like, they always appreciate, like, the beauty of the hair. They are curious. Yeah. But a lot of friends told me, like, no, I'm living in Mexico because I enjoy the city. Everybody is kind with us. Even with the police, we don't have such behavior as in the States.
Well, I felt very welcome and actually so moved by how generous and kind everyone was. I was quite surprised by it. I don't know. I guess I didn't expect it to be terrible, but the warmth just felt so genuine. And I think that coupled with the just that there's a kind of, you know, how they call it, magic. There's a kind of magic. I was going to try and speak Spanish, but I won't. But there's a kind of magic to the land. And it's, and I guess it's to do with the way the indigenous people have been caretakers of the land for some time, even in the ways that maybe you can't see. I believe, I was saying to a friend in Mexico City, we can't see the prayers that have come before us for this land, but I believe strongly that there have been prayers by indigenous people before we walked, you know, on this land, mm-hmm. to protect us. And I had this a very quick story. I was walking, actually I was at an event in the city, and it was a fashion designer who, he was Mexican, he appeared like quite light, you know, white passing, I guess, but he was like fully Mexican. And he had his elderly grandma come to this opening, and she had like, you know, white hair. They were all very, what I assumed was like an old school kind of Mexican, I don't know, a family that maybe I would have felt a bit nervous towards. Mm-hmm. But the grandmother of that man, she didn't speak English, so she came with her granddaughter, and she asked her to translate for me. And she said, I want you to know that your people are very welcome here. Like, you very welcome here. And I literally, my eyes like were so watery. I was like, oh my goodness. I've never, the only place I've had that is in Africa, you know, in Uganda, where grandmothers are like, you know, welcome home. And I thought it was so poignant. And I know, obviously, that is a uniquely special experience. And there are, I know from other African Americans and Black Brits and Black people, that the experiences are varied. But to have that experience in my time there really showed me what you're talking about, you know, that scope of openness and welcomeness that that's really felt.
Yes.
Special.
Yes, I understand. I think it's as you said, because of the traditions in Mexico, you know, like, we are a country, of course, that was also colonized by Europeans. Of course, I want to say like white people, because it's just like people from Spain, actually, that is in the books, you know, and there was a lot of suffer also here in back in those days.
Yeah.
But something important is that Mexico in general, there were some communities that they were okay accepting, you know, like the new rules of this new world with the Catholicism, or people trying to put their own religion to the indigenous, you know. And after, of course, like African slaves arrived to Mexico around the coast, like Veracruz, and also in the coast around Oaxaca.
Yeah.
And there was another mix, you know. It's really funny to mention that, imagine, like back in the days, they were putting classifications to us depending of our skin color, and there were 16 different types, imagine. not only
classes of people, and this is 16. based on skin color.
Yeah, it was about actually, like, if your parent was like a Spanish and maybe your mom was indigenous, so you were, I don't know, like, call it by a certain name, you know, like, there was a lot, but things that are even insane for me now to understand, like, how, like, for example, like, here, they call me, and they used to call me back in the days, and even now, mulata. Mulata means, like, a mix between blacks, yeah, between a black and a white person, you know, but also, that word is a kind of rude, because that comes from the donkeys, you know, like, they really? Were trying to do, yes, they were trying to do this comparison about just like a donkey that is doing the hard work in the fields. So there's a lot of things in the story, you know, and I think that's why people is so warm, because we know.
Because you know what the suffering is.
We know what we go through, exactly.
Yeah. I've got a double question. So how would you describe your experience today in Mexico as a woman born in Mexico? And is there anything you would like our diaspora community to know as they come to visit Mexico, and something to be aware of, or Or kind of any advice? I think that question's coming from the knowledge of gentrification happens so quickly, so thick, mm-hmm. so fast. Something that's important to me is to have respect for those that came before. And I don't know if there are some things that are unspoken, some things that go unsaid, but I wonder if you have anything to say around awareness that people can have.
Okay, well, about that first question, I would like to say that nowadays, with all these movements of people, with this new building of communities, even now that everything is, you know, in the metaverse or in internet or, you know, by social media, I'm so happy to embrace myself with all in me, you know, my skin color, my type of hair, my curly hair, my big tags, like my body, just in the way it is, because that I can tell you, honestly speaking, that I'm not feeling different anymore, you know?
Oh, wow. Is that recent? Yes. Is that recent, in recent years?
Yes. Yes.
How recent? In the past, like, 3 years, four?
I can tell you that probably, yes, like, when I started college, probably, that I was more exposed, you know, I was feeling more confident about myself when I was in college and when I started traveling, because of course I was out of Mexico, you know, here everybody was looking at me different, but in other countries they were making me feel part of something, and it was always Black people. That's something important to mention, you know? They were always like, oh, but there's something Black in you, and I don't know how to express it, but like, where are you from? But I was feeling embraced. No jokes. I was just like, yes, probably. And that's why I started, you know, like trying to look for answers and investigate a little bit more about my background. And I traveled for first time to Cuba in 2018. And for me, that was a very special trip, because was everything that my grandma was teaching me, like all those readings, rumba, huahuanco, danzón. There was a lot of music that I have from my grandma. And the first time that I was there, I was looking at all these beautiful people, mixed babies, you know, like black and whites together in a community. Cuba is a very special place for me. And we were like darkest in the family.
You were the darkest in your family. Okay.
Me and my grandma, yes. I think that because of generations, you know, like the mix, and I had 10 babies. So imagine. Wow. she was having like different skin colors in 10 babies. But we look alike so much. She passed away like 7 years ago.
I'm sorry.
But I was I was like always feeling like strong when she was telling me like, no, Brenda, like you have to be proud of your body. If you think like you have a big booty and that is disturbing you, let me tell you that that is beautiful, and your hair is beautiful, and your skin is beautiful. And these girls or these white girls, probably they are telling you something, but don't let them make you feel bad. You know, and that was the thing that was always like pushing me, you know, to be like proud of myself, no matter anything. Now with the diaspora, and as you said, with the gentrification here in Mexico, I feel good. I feel part of a community, and I feel, and that makes me so happy.
Do you feel like what you're building in the community is almost a safety bubble, because the community is so strong, it's almost the resistance of anything that goes against, you know, what the amazing thing that you're building in a way, so you feel safe and excited about it?
Yes, definitely. I think haters are gonna hate, you know, but if you try to re-educate people, and what I have in mind is, I'm not trying to tell people what to believe or how to act, you know, because we are not their parents or something like that. But you can show them the proofs, you know. You can show them that probably is about ignorance. And I have been saying this like all my life, you know, it's not about education or your school or anything like that, but it's just respect. And if you don't have respect and you only live in ignorance, and if you see someone that is different than you, but you just look at that person and you don't try to investigate or to know that person, like, or understand why he's different than you. So that is not working, you know, like, I think it's a safe place, yes, yeah. Because the base of the project is respect. That is that's why it's called a diaspora, because we welcome everybody, you know, like embracing people from everywhere.
Yeah,
we are not trying to do even just like an only Black party or like a party only for Black people. No, it's a lot of people. I mean, like if you are white, you can come, but always with respect, you know, because here you are just going to find a community. Based of indigenous and African people.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Yeah, I hear you. It's so stunning what you've done, because by nature of who is at the core of it, you know, you and the community that helped build it, being just a naturally diverse group of people, it means that the people who are drawn to it are like you, but the doors are open. And the thing that is so exciting for this time is that you've centered this movement in joy, as you said, like music. And I think one thing I learned from Mexicans, and I feel it in your spirit, is that, you know, having a good time is very important, really energetically. If you think about this in terms of creation, in terms of love, how we build, joy should be at the center of all creation, right? And I think that we were forgetting that, and it's very easy to forget it when times are tough. So I want to thank you for reminding me about my joy and how important it is.
Yes, and you know what, I think is dance, you know, because it's joy dance. Is dance. And honestly, I can have a bad day. I can have probably like a sad day or whatever you want, but I can put Afrobeats or I can put dancehall, and just my body is just going to jump out of the bed and is going to shake my booty and start to do like crazy movements. And that is just like the roots of it, you know, as you said. Yeah, in Mexico, we love parties and things like that. But with diaspora, I feel the drums inside of me, you know, I was growing with music like timbal, that is basically only percussions, with mambo. Like there was some Cuban artist that my grandma used to hear all the time, Pérez Prado, Celia Cruz. She was a very important singer. Actually, it was like one of the first. I mean, for my generation and maybe people that know Celia Cruz, she was super famous. Okay. And being Cuban, you know, that if we think about the situation in Cuba, was really hard for some musicians. They went to Miami, but she was like a legend. And I remember all my life dancing that type of music and feeling happy, and probably as your program is, you know, like Mondo Moments, I can say that dancing the music of my ancestors and of my family is what makes me like do this project with a lot of joy and empathy for everybody, and respect and desire to keep growing a community where we can feel safe. You know, if I can tell you, yes, we feel safe, my goal is to spread this as much as I can, because it's what I was telling you. I was like, it's 2022 and it's crazy that we still trying to look differences, because if you ask me, I don't think there's a pure human being right now. We are just like a mix of a bunch of things, you know. The purest blood is in Africa, that is for sure. I can tell you that as a biologist also.
Yeah,
but a part of it, you know, and I think it's a moment to respect each other, especially like after all the situations that we are living right now.
Yeah.
And if you can solve your problems dancing, just do it.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes, this is honestly like a motto to live by. Oh my gosh, I love it. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That is honestly so perfect. We have a few minutes left. I don't know if you want to add anything else. I feel like that was a perfect place to end.
telling you, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Okay, so one thing I will do is let everyone know that if you go to Mexico City, you have to find the Diaspora Party. It will be popped up somewhere fabulous. And the best thing to do is follow the Instagram. The Instagram handle is Diaspora.
Diaspora CVMX.
Okay. And I'm going to put Bren's Instagram and the Diaspora Instagram handle in the show notes. And when this episode is out, I'll also be sharing that as well. Honestly, as you've heard, the heart of this party is born from real community, real love and diversity. And it will, I think it's fair to say, it's a life-changing party, isn't it? It's a life-changing party. A life-changing dance. No, actually, a life-changing movement. So let it move you.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Since the day that I met you, you know, like you gave me also that beautiful necklace from Uganda, and you were telling me the story. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I have a treasure right now.
I know. Honestly, I just can't wait to like be back. As soon as I'm back in the city, I'm hitting you up. A cosmic meeting. I'm grateful for you.
Yes, thank you too. Like it has been like really beautiful to share like some thoughts with you. Like of course I would love to repeat, and everybody like interested, you know, in showing their music, their art. We are just like trying to promote like I'm a piano, Afrobeats, you know, like different type of music, and people from all around the world. And actually we receive a lot of support from the UK.
Oh, nice.
So yes, actually they are really, really nice with us. They sent us some invitations from WAP magazine.
Oh, cool.
When Jaru Vandal was in the previous party, people from Amsterdam was also trying, yes, to send us like messages and things like that. So, well, I'm very, very grateful, and also thank you. I really, really appreciate sharing these words. So thank you so much, Randall.
All you're doing. Thank you, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks for listening, friends. If you're enjoying this podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, and share. Also, you can leave reviews and comments and DMs. I'm very open to receiving them all.